ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Tim Challies said, more important than how you do family devotions is that you do family devotions. Basically, what he is saying is make sure you do family devotions. The foundation of family devotions is simple. Read the Word of God, pray, sing a short hymn, better said, read, teach, and pray. It is as simple as that. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it hard. Make it simple. And do it every day. Be faithful. Be consistent. Be regular. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those families that name the name of Christ all across this country and around the globe. And Lord, you know who they are. And especially during this time, for I fear that many families in the Christian, many so-called Christian families in this country called America are not at all prepared for what we're dealing with. And Lord, this is the reason why you led me into a different assignment and to do what I've been doing since the plague pandemic has started. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray for the healing of Christian families, not based upon what we think and our great ideas or somebody's book, but based upon your holy word. For you have spoken to each and every one of us in the family, and our behavior is not contingent upon another family member's behavior. And we are to practice your kind of love as it is found in your holy word, Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, agape love, unconditional love. And so, Lord, help us to pray together, obey together, and stay together, Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. And Lord, I know that people hate this. There are evangelicals and Bible preaching preachers and pastors who don't like the fact that I am going against the grain and not buying the lies that have been told over the past 30 to 60, maybe 100 years, that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, happy wife, happy life, and all that foolishness, where the devil and even pastors and pastors' wives have shifted the power and the authority to the wife and the mother, and the father and the husband is just nothing. No wonder they don't want to come to church. And so, Holy Father God, humanly speaking, this is impossible for people to change and to turn this around. But with you, all things are possible. We may be facing the end for America and for the American church. So I don't know if this will come to pass or not. Let your will be done. One of the reasons why I'm concerned that it's going to be the end because of the fact that in the church, in all, across all denominations, the main area that we have failed in, Lord, as you know, is the family. Not in doctrine, not in training, not in multiple approaches and methods and ideas. We have failed in one main area, our Christianity did not move into our families. And so many of us are the Adams family at home, and hypocrites and phonies and fakes in the Brady Bunch family in church. And I would imagine you're sick of it and you want to throw up because of the hypocrisy and the phoniness and the lies and the secrets. Lord, we have a church full of adulterers and adulteresses who refuse and will never do what Jada Pinkett Smith did. It's sad to say, Lord, but she's been a better example of being honest than most Christians, and it is a shame in your sight. So, Holy Father God, as you know, Lord, as has been the case with most of your servants down through the years, they did their job hoping that people would repent and change as you wanted them to, but realizing deep down that even though we are called to do our job as prophets, as preachers, we must prepare for the fact that people will not humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways and get back to you, their first love, that Jesus talked about in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. Because, Lord, if they don't turn at your love, your compassion, your long-suffering, your loving-kindness, your gentleness, your meekness, Lord, you're just being loving and fair to them that you sent the prophets to warn them. But so many people, sad to say, Lord, unlike the Ninevites, are doomed because they refuse to listen to you and listen to your servants. But Lord, we march on, we hold up the blood-stained banner, we continue to walk in our assignment, whether the people display hard faces and stiff necks or not. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of those families that don't know you. Lord, have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. Forgive us of our sins in this modern day Christianity, gathering crowds but not reaching the lost, gathering crowds with events but not reaching the lost and seeing people truly saved and converted and repent. As someone said a long time ago, what you get them with, you got to keep them with. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you will raise up a new crop of disciples who will be faithful to your great commission and your great commandment, for we have failed you. And Lord, I don't know if you would ever use us again. I doubt it. But Lord, even if you choose not to use us because we've been disobedient to you, Lord, we pray that you'll raise up laborers into the field better than we are to witness to the lost in this country and around the globe and to reach the whited harvest fields. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, in reciting and reading the New Apostles' Creed. If you don't have the New Apostles' Creed, just type into Google the New Apostles' Creed / Daniel White III. I wrote a book on it and made some pertinent and good changes or additions to the Apostles' Creed as well as the Nicene Creed, based upon the Word of God. And what I installed into the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed is a built-in apologetics. A built-in answering of any questions, who were the witnesses? Which is, by the way, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a part of the gospel. It was meant to be a part of the gospel. But many have not understood that. So we have a whole different section of ministry now called apologetics to prove the gospel when the proof is already in it. There's no greater proof, my dear friends, than eyewitnesses. Everything else is circumstantial, but you cannot deny many eyewitnesses. So I installed that into the Apostles' Creed and into the Nicene Creed. You'll see that in a few seconds. Let's read it together, or let's recite it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And all of this, my dear friends, is according to the scriptures. Like the original creed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says several times, according to the scriptures. The third day he arose again from the dead. And here's what I installed that nobody can question or doubt: the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he did, nobody has ever been able to find his bones, then you need to believe in him. That's what this is about. And here's what I installed. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, Peter and John and the other disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our passage today in the family verses, what I call the family verses, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. I may expand this to 1 Peter chapter 3. My wife does not want me to do that. But I may expand it to that. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 20. We read this every day. We never missed. We might have skipped around on the other ones like I'm doing with you, but we never miss reading this, because I knew God made it very clear to me the devil wanted to destroy our family. See, you need to understand, when you are a minister of the gospel, you are a preacher of the gospel, and I know this is not popular today and people don't like to hear this today, But if your family is all jacked up and out of order, you're disqualified as a preacher, as a pastor, particularly. And so that's why the devil fights hard against the family. What helps give me authority to preach to you about the family is the fact that my family is together. Not perfect, but we have stayed together. We have survived under great satanic attack, inside and out. And you need to understand that the devil is seeking to destroy your marriage and your family from the inside and from the outside. And he will send all kinds of bombs and torpedoes to try to destroy your family. And not only preachers' families, but your family. So we read these verses in our devotions for 33 years. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you understand that you have an enemy. Ultimately, your enemy is the devil. The devil is behind all of the confusion, the convolution, and the chaos in your house and in your family. You need to understand that. Now, you may have to deal with an individual for letting the devil use them as a doorway into your family, so that they will learn to stop the devil at the door. But don't make your family the ultimate enemy, and make and start thinking that getting rid of them is the solution. The solution is to keep the devil at bay, for everybody in the family to learn how to resist the devil, that he will flee from your family. Not just the head of the family, but the wife and the children and everybody as they come of age. You need to pray a hedge of protection, a circle of protection around your family each and every day. That's why you need to have family devotions in the morning time. You can't wait till the evening. It's too late. All kinds of hell will break loose if you wait till the evening or nighttime. That's not wise. You need to do this as early as you can in the morning. Now, dear friends, join me in prayer as we pray for fellow Christians and believers, as we pray for people in the government, the president and governors and mayors. You may have heard that the Atlanta mayor, who has coronavirus herself, as well as her husband, has shut down Atlanta. Just shut it down again. I want to pray for law enforcement, sheriffs and police chiefs and the people under them, based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. And of course we want to pray for all of those people who have lost loved ones to the coronavirus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray for others. Lord, we pray for all Christian people, all people who name the name of Christ. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for everybody in the government based upon your holy word. We pray for salvation, spiritual life, family, financial, material protection and provision blessing, Lord, upon all of the people who are in government leadership, from the president, his family, his administration, and the government, senators, representatives, governors, state senators, state representatives, mayors, city council members, police chiefs, sheriffs, and the peace officers. And we pray for all medical personnel and everybody, Lord, involved in trying to make things better in our country and to make things more peaceful and quiet. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for these blessings to fall on them as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of all people, especially of the household of faith, if they're willing to confess their sins and to confess their faults to others in the church and to repent. And Lord, heal those, Lord, who are sick and not saved. We pray that you'll save their souls. Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of all people in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray for the revival of all people in this country, around the globe, and in the media. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all of your Christian people who are suffering persecution in Iran, in China, in Nigeria, and around the world, we pray that you would comfort them, provide for them, bless them, and deliver them as only you can. We pray for all other countries in the world the same way we pray for our sad and pitiful country. And Holy Father God, help us in the church especially to repent all around the globe, for we are the problem. Have mercy and grace upon us, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. We pray your blessings upon Israel. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all of the people who are hurting beyond measure and feeling pain that we have never felt before. We may feel it. We should feel it. We deserve it, just like they do. We all deserve what we're going through, especially in the household of faith, because we have sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight without repenting. And so, Lord, we're no better than these people who are hurting. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, at the same time, we pray that you will comfort them, draw them close to yourself for salvation and for comfort. And we pray that you'll draw them to your holy word for salvation and for comfort as well. And we pray for some of these families, just a few of these families by name. We pray for all of the other families as well in general, that you will be with them. And Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Ohio Pastor Greg Clark Jr. We pray for the family and friends of Arkansas church member William Barton. We pray for the family and friends of Arkansas church member Terry Henderson. We pray for the family and friends of Texas church musician Michael Westbrook. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut church member William Pike. We pray for the family and friends of Florida pastor Tony Salmeron. We pray for the family and friends of Mississippi pastor T.T. Scott. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois church musician Rhoda Jean Hatch. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois pastor Myron Emmanuel Lett. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan church elder Danny Dotson. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Holy Father God, we pray now for a few of the people who have sent prayer requests to us out of thousands. We can't pray for everybody by name now, but Lord, we can pray for a few and pray for all of the others. In general, we pray, Lord, for salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, protection and provision, blessings upon all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their specific prayer requests and hear their prayers and hear our prayers for them. And Lord, we pray for Vicky. Please be with all families, with the disabled members during coronavirus. We pray for KT. Help her to stay faithful to you and not engage in sexual activity. We pray for Megan that you would open a door and provide her with a room to rent in the Orange County or Long Beach area of California. Save and protect her friend who is being moved into a care facility. We pray for Elaine. Help her to send us an update as we pray for the Lewis family in Monroe, Louisiana, who lost their father, Hilton Lewis Jr., mother Shirley Lewis, and son Hilton Christopher Lewis III to the coronavirus, for divine comfort and salvation. Also for the surviving daughter, Latera Lewis Cooper, who has returned home from the hospital after testing positive for the virus. We pray for Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms and her husband, and one child now has the virus. Comfort them as only you can. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of Killer Mike and T.I. completely. And Lord, lead them in a different direction as you have given them natural abilities for leadership. We pray for Cheryl, for her Christian bookstore to receive financial support and be allowed to reopen. We pray for Pastor Dobson. Please provide him with the money and food he needs for the orphans and protect them all from coronavirus. And we commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. As we pray now for the people who have heard the gospel through this ministry and responded and got saved and told us so. And also those who have heard the gospel through this ministry and returned to you and have recommitted their lives, even though we don't give an invitation for that. We pray for Agnes. We pray for Mary. We pray for Diane. We pray for Art. We pray for Lovish. We pray for Harry. And we pray for Roop. Help these to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Joe. We pray for Kiz. We pray for Ann. We pray for Yo. We pray for Fo. And we pray for Fred. And we pray for Marina as well. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Our devotional reading today is It All Starts with God, Part 4 from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He said, how do you discover the purpose you were created for? You have only two options. Your first option is speculation. This is what most people choose to do. They conjecture. They guess, they theorize. When people say, I've always thought life is, they mean this is the best guess I can come up with. For thousands of years, brilliant philosophers have discussed and speculated about the meaning of life, the purpose of life. Philosophy is an important subject and has its uses, but when it comes to determining the purpose of life, even the wisest philosophers are just guessing. Dr. Hugh Moorhead, a philosophy professor at Northeastern Illinois University, once wrote to 250 of the best-known philosophers, scientists, writers, and intellectuals in the world, asking them, what is the meaning of life? He then published their responses in a book. Some offered their best guesses. Some admitted that they just made up a purpose for life. And others were honest enough to say they were clueless, they didn't know. In fact, a number of famous intellectuals asked Professor Moorhead to write back and tell them if he discovered the purpose of life. Fortunately, there is an alternative to speculation and guessing about the meaning and purpose of life. It's revelation. We can turn to what God has revealed about life in his word. The easiest way to discover the purpose of an invention is to ask the creator of that invention. The same is true for discovering your life's purpose. Ask God. God has not left us in the dark to wonder and guess. He has clearly revealed his five purposes for our lives through the Holy Bible. It is our owner's manual explaining why we are alive, how life works, what to avoid, and what to expect in the future. It explains what no self-help book or philosophy book could know. The Bible says God's wisdom goes deep into the interior of his purposes. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest message of all time. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for your holy word, for the privilege, the power, the peace, and the purpose of prayer. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us how we need to do family at all times, but especially during this time. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for teaching us by the power of your Holy Spirit and speaking to our hearts in so many different ways. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray now that by the power of your Holy Ghost and by the power of your Holy Gospel, you will open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and save those who are lost among us, those who don't know your Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation, may I lovingly encourage you to believe in him today. Do what Jesus Christ says very clearly to you and to me and to everybody in the world. When he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 3:16, Jesus Christ said these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You must understand, dear friend, that you are a sinner. You have done wrong in your life, and so have I, and so has the Pope and everybody else. The Bible says, God's word reveals to us that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, there is a punishment called death and hell. We die because of our sin. That's why we have funeral homes. That's why we have graveyards. These bodies will die. Our bodies will go to a grave. Our eternal soul will live on forever somewhere, either in heaven or hell, depending on whether or what we do with Jesus in this life. Depending on whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ or not. And Jesus is obviously telling you to believe in him in this life. For God so loved the world, that means that God loves you. If you are in this world, God loves you. You may not feel it, you may not think so, but God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was speaking of himself. Jesus Christ, who never committed a sin in word, in thought, or deed. Jesus Christ, who walked on the water like we walk on carpet. Jesus Christ, who told the wind to be quiet and the sea to sit down in a storm, and it obeyed him. Both obeyed him. "Peace, be still," is what he said. Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, and he raised other people from the dead. I would encourage you to get with Jesus. Not only did he come back from the dead, he raised others from the dead. I would lovingly encourage you to believe in Jesus. Just do what Jesus told you to do. Believe in me. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing back to the deaf. He fed thousands miraculously with just a little bit of food. He is the God-man. The other name for Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. John the Baptist told everybody one day when Jesus was passing by, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ chose to lay down his life for you and for me as the sacrificial Lamb of God to pay for all of our sins. The very Son of God, if you will, God, died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And Jesus tells you in this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He was talking about himself. Jesus Christ willingly died for your sins, your lies, your adultery, your fornication, your homosexuality, your disobedience, your rebelliousness, your bad attitude, your hatefulness, your racism, your prejudice. Jesus died for all of your evil and your sin and your foolishness. And all you have to do is believe in him, and your sins are gone, and you can be saved from hell. For the verse goes on to say, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish." That means perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven to be with God. Dear friends, this is not only a good deal, this is the greatest deal of all time. You need to take it. I strongly encourage you to do it. The Bible says further in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, "Man, that sounds too easy." It is easy. Isn't it easy for you? It was not easy for God. It was not easy for Jesus. But that's how God is. He makes things easy for us because he loves us. That's right. If you want to call it easy believism, it is easy believism. Just believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. You don't have to shout and jump and run around the church. You don't have to be a member of a church to get saved. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to get saved. You don't have to raise your hand up and walk in front of a bunch of people to get saved. I got saved in my dorm room after being raised in church by two pastors. But I was lost, and I was religious, church going, lost, and on my way to a devil's hell and didn't even know it. You might be that way, religious. You've been in church all your life, but you don't have peace in your soul right now that you're saved from hell. You may not even knew that you were going to hell because they never told you that. You didn't know what being saved was. You thought it was people who just kept a set of rules and were boring. That's what I thought. And so you don't have to do any of that to get saved. All you have to do is believe. You just do what Jesus said do. You just believe in him. Believe in your heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and call on his name to save your soul, and he will. And if you have not prayed on this level before, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart right where you are, even in your sick bed or on your deathbed, wherever you are. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, and God will save your soul. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before in my life. I'm guilty. I've stolen things before in my life. Lord, I never stole a car, but I have stole some money from my parents, some change out of their change jar. I have stolen some food out of the refrigerator that did not belong to me. I have stolen a pen or some paper towels to avoid having to buy it for myself from the job. Holy Father God, I have coveted in my heart and lusted in my heart after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents at times. I have dishonored and disrespected you by taking your holy name in vain. So, Holy Father God, these are five of your Ten Commandments that I have broken, and I am guilty. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. As I now do what you said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, I believe in you based upon your holy word. I believe in you, Lord Jesus, that you suffered, you bled, and you died on the cross for my sins as the sacrificial lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world, that you were buried because you were stone cold dead, and you rose from the grave on the third day, early one Sunday morning, by the power of God. I believe it, Lord. I believe in you. I will admit I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my wicked and evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the words of Jesus, the words of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven according to the words of Jesus Christ, found in John 3:16. That's what you take to the gates of heaven. You don't take your baptismal certificate. You're going to go to hell with that. Your church membership certificate, you're going to go to hell with that. Your how many dance steps you made in church, and how did you spoke in tongue, that's not going to get you in the pearly white gates. John 3:16, that's what you claim. That's what you claim right there. The words of Jesus. So welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. for more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet or read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.